Lecture topic, Why So Many Natural Disasters, Part 1.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما عاد فأهلكوا بريح صرصر عاتية سخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حسوما فترى القوم فيها صرعى كأنهم أعجاز نخل خاوية فهل ترى لهم من باقية وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ما فتح الله على عاد من الريح التي هلكوا بها إلا مثل موضع الخاتم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected scholars, brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, the current happenings across the globe and the succession of catastrophes so rapidly, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَارْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَٰلِكَ رِيحًا حَمْرًا, that prior to Qiyamah, you will find strong winds will become common, زَلْزَلَةً, earthquakes will become common, خَصْفًا, the earth will swallow nations, قَذْفًا, the skies will shower stones upon people. As we come closer and we see these natural disasters, and these catastrophes becoming more common and more rapid, it compels every human mind, every human of sane logic, to pause and ask one question. Ask one question. Be it a believer or a disbeliever, regardless of the faith, we use universal terminologies. And ask one question, why is Mother Nature sending so many natural disasters on earth? When I was in America now, just a few weeks ago, and then I had to address a non-Muslim audience, and amongst the many questions that were asked, one sister asked this question, and I complimented her for this question. She said, we are Christians, you are Muslims, and there are people from different faiths here. Let us all collectively ask, why are there so many natural disasters on this earth? Things that defy human logic, that defy human science, that contradict research, that defy research, and are only at an increase. The hadith that I quoted, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it will only increase and intensify. Rihan hamra, stormy winds. When Allah decided to destroy the nation of Aad, Allah told the angels that were in charge of the winds to unleash the winds. So the angel said, Allah, can I unleash the winds to the extent of the nostril of a cow, according to the riwayat of Ibn Kathir. Allah said, if you unleash so much, it will destroy every creature on this earth. What is then the treasures of the winds of Allah? So Allah said, only release that much to the extent of a ring. مَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَادْ مِنَ الرِّيحِ أَلَّتِي هُلِكُوا بِهَا. Allah only released and unleashed that percentage, that proportion from the treasures of His winds, equivalent to that of a ring, a small ring. And that resulted in the destruction of such a nation that the Quran says, أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Allah Himself says, such a nation I have never created before, nor will I create after. Then Allah says, Nabi alayhi salam says, زَلْزَلَةً, earthquakes. And the earthquake doesn't mean that it's out of the control of Allah. So only that amount of humans, nay only that amount of animals, nay that amount of insects and ants will die, how much Allah decides. And what does Allah say? إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها. This is but a small reminder of the bigger earthquake. And that is on the day of Qiyamah when the earth will be shaken to its maximum. Now they're saying it's 7.8 and it's 8.4 and the epicenter was like this and it sucked so many lives and destroyed so many buildings. You look at the emphasis in this verse. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. When the earth will be shaken to its maximum. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the earth will throw out its treasures, be it the dead corpse that lie beneath it, be it the minerals that are beneath it. And a person will pass by in the hadith, chunks of gold, and you will look at it and you will say, because of this gold I disobeyed Allah. Because of this I severed ties with my beloved. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And man will say, what is happening to this earth? What is wrong? The car don't work, you say, what's wrong with this car? Your stuff don't come, what's wrong with these employees? What's happening? Everybody will say, what's happening to this earth today? And these natural disasters make it loud and clear of the absolute might of Allah, the absolute wrath of Allah, the strength of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, the feebleness of man, the hopelessness, the uselessness, the defenseless nature of man. That nothing is in your plan. I met a man in America now, from Pakistan, who owned an apartment in the place where the earthquake took place. He says somebody came and he was insisting to buy the apartment from my son. My son was staying there and we were playing for time. We said we settled here and we okay. And he insisted, and 1 week before the earthquake we finalized the documents, the title deed was transferred and the new ownership was handed over. We moved out and they moved in. Their house is gone and those people are gone. So it is as if you are going towards your destruction. But then again, can you do any different? What knowledge do you have? فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. So Pharaoh came, picked up Musa. Allah says, not knowing he's picking up the child at whose hands he'll lose his kingdom. But then again, could he do any different? He was helpless like you and I are. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. They were in open error. Manifest mistake. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. When this earth will narrate its tale. Today you are talking, the earth is silent. That day you'll be silent and the earth will talk. So the earth will say, Allah's zina took place on this land. Allah, he signed a fraudulent check on this place. Allah, he gambled on this land. Allah, he perpetrated this crime. Why? بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Because Allah has inspired it to do so. يَوْمَئِذِي يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا. People will gather in flocks and scores and multitudes. So Nabi alayhi salam says, فَارْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ رِيحًا حَمْرَى وَزَلْزَلَةً وَخَصْفًا. The earth will swallow nations. And Allah speaks about it in the Quran. فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. What a unique verse of the Quran. We took every individual and nation to task because of their sins. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا. Upon some we send stormy winds. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ الصَّيْحَةِ. Some were seized by the awful cry of an angel. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. Some we drowned in the waters. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا. Some we made the earth swallow them. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. You might arrive at the conclusion, what an evil Allah, what an unkind Allah. And that is the nature of man, that is the arrogance of man. When the tsunami took place, I had the opportunity to go this year also to Indonesia. At the time when it happened, I was coming back from Canada, so I was reading the papers. So, as reflected in the media, some woman says, that God, how unkind of you, we did you nothing, why do you do this to us? I ask, with what tongue do you speak? It's the pinnacle of audacity. It's the height of arrogance. What have you done to Allah? How, what, which tongue do you speak? تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الأرض وتخر الجبال هدا. Allah says, never mind me. My creation has now become emotional against the sins of man. I am tolerant and I am persevering. My creation cannot now bear the crimes of man. So the sky wants to collapse. The earth wants to split. The mountains want to shatter. أَنْ دَعَوْ لِلْرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدَىٰ. Because you wrongly accuse Allah of children. So Allah's creation is reacting. So this American sister asked me this question. She says, tell me, why are there so many natural disasters on earth? In a nutshell, I told her, the Almighty, the God, the Lord, the Divine Being is not going to announce His displeasure on a mic. But He's going to make it evident by bringing about these situations. And I then gave a parable that if you tell someone, don't open the door, there is a snake behind the door. It's venomous, you'll be poisoned. And then as man's nature is, prohibition arouses curiosity. What color snake? I wonder if it's venomous. But I've seen many snakes. Let me try. Who says it's poisonous? And he opens. And immediately he's poisoned. And then he says, where did the snake come from? Where did the snake come from? Allah told you, don't touch zina. I will make death common amongst you. Don't touch interest. I will make your life miserable. I met one brother phoned me in this week. In America, we were dealing with cases, interest related, every single day. But now the bubble is bursting and the reality is unveiling that it's an absolute deception. There is no money. It's all, you know, supposedly I'm owing. And I even mentioned to the brothers there, obviously California is a high prime area. Everybody wants to own a house there, but it runs into $600,000-$700,000 and bonded for 30 years and bonded for 40 years. But rejoicing that I bought a new house. And there's a party about the whole thing. There's a celebration. Whereas nothing is on his name. You know, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرَةٌ. This world is sweet and green. And Allah is going to test you. Before Ramadan, we were here in Dundee for a program. And then we went hunting. You know, when you're in America and you talk of hunting, the brothers, they get up. Sheikh, you mean you go hunting? Subhanallah. And you mean you shoot an animal? Really? Wow, that's great, man. My goodness. So Sheikh, do you see animals walking around on the streets? Africa, you know, what a perception people have, these lions roaming around in the streets of Africa. Sometimes you cannot imagine that the world is technologically so advanced, yet there are people that are so primitive and outdated. Once we were in Makkah and we were going to the airport on our way back, so there was a humble, simple driver. He could not read. He could not read. Spoke to him in Arabic, a real Bedouin. So we asked him, you know, finalized the amount, spoke to him in Arabic, and then he says, I'm not familiar with the roads, but you must just read the signs for me. I can see pictures and then you must tell me what it means. So anyway, there comes a phone advertisement. He says, does this speak anything about the airport? Anyway, we went hunting and as we were walking, the brother, the owner of the farm, we seen some dead cattle. So I'm asking him, I said, you're losing a lot of cattle here. What's the problem? Subhanallah. You know, for men, there is examples in everything to learn. So he picks up a green blade of grass, tulip. And he says, Monana, look at this here. This is poison. But look at it, how strange. It's more green than the other grass. Now, when the cattle come in, they don't realize they are tempted because it's more green. They eat it once. Immediately, they suffer severe constipation, which results in excruciating pain. And within a day, they die. Within a day, they die. This is the condition. But it's greener than the other grass. This is the temptation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this world is green and its temptations are rife. It is inviting you. Now, the irony of our reflection today. There are so many tragedies happening, so many catastrophes, so many natural disasters. We reflect it scientifically exclusively. So the measures we institute to counter it are purely scientific. So what is it? We need to put a mechanism in the earth to give us an early warning signal. And we need to have these things in place to, you know, evacuate in time. These are the measures we have. These are the measures we have in place. Unfortunately, what I'm saying is we do not approach it ethically, morally, religiously on any front. I am not saying we discredit the scientific research. What I'm saying is complement it. We talk of environment, the cleanliness of environment. That is our style, you know. I was in Canada now, so you see these signs there on this, you know, the dog trails. They have this here, stoop and scoop. Stoop and scoop, you know, cleanliness of environment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with the Sahaba, and then there is a foul smell, there is a stench. So he tells the Sahaba, do you know what is this foul smell? Where is it coming from? هَذَا رِيحُ الَّذِي يَغْتَابُونَ النَّاسِ There are some people that are backbiting, and because of that, the environment is polluted. It has contaminated the environment. Now we say we inhaling fumes, and you know, this is happening, and how it's damaging the atmosphere and the environment, and this layer and that layer and whatever else is happening. But what about these sins that are contaminating our environment? So, we went for a drive in San Francisco, downtown, a place that is supposedly a zone of earthquakes. But nowadays, you know, it's whether it's a zone or not, it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And as we went for a drive in a tram in the heart of San Francisco, it's a place of holiday, so people come from far and wide. And, you know, your tour guide, oh, folks, we welcome you to San Francisco. We hope you have a great time here. And anyway, we have, what, 750,000 people that live here, and about 3 million people converge on the city center daily. The whole world is coming. But just to quote and tie it up with my topic. He says, you will observe we have no gas stations here. And you will observe that the homes, although they are so close, yet there is a degree of separation between the two. And, you know, you're paying exorbitant amounts, $20 million for a house, a basic structure, just because it's on the most crooked street in the world. No, no, that is an absolute reality. It's an absolute reality. Because it's the most crooked street in the world. The world has become so desperate for fame, people are excelling in evil to be recognized. Just to come on record, people are excelling in evil. So you get the fattest man in the world. And you get the person with the longest mustache. And you know, doing weird things, peculiar things, just to come on record. Some going on hunger strike for sympathy reasons, some doing this, some doing that. That the world knows I'm also an individual that existed. Let my name come and be recorded. Anyway, he says, we don't have any gas stations. We have a degree of separation between the houses. Why? Because we experience tremors daily. Those were his words. We experience tremors daily, and we take earthquakes seriously. Now I said there's one word we need to add on there. We take it seriously, scientifically. Morally, ethically, religiously, I'm afraid no. So it is purely scientific. Now, again, this is the short-sightedness of man. That he is not looking at the ultimate being. So I ask, how long will you install some mechanism in the earth? How long will you quarantine people? How long will you inject birds because of the bird flu? How long will you kill cows because of the mad cow disease? How long will you go to this, oh man? Is it not high time that you realize it's enough of your abortion? We're talking universally now, across all religious grounds. We are not talking exclusively. Things that all divine scriptures will accept are wrong. And I said this in America to the non-Muslim audience. We are talking universally that the planet, humans need to become more morally conscious. It's enough of abortion. It's enough of prostitution. It's enough of killing. It's enough of murder. It's enough of gambling. Things that are accepted as vices across all religious grounds. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ Allah says only He knows what is His army. So, like the Quran says that when you are in the center of the ocean and Allah sends a stormy wind, and then you find that life is coming out of your control and death is becoming more certain, and the hopes are dwindling, and then Allah rescues you and Allah takes you to shore. And Allah says, when I take you to shore, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا, then you rebel against me. So then Allah asks a question. Do you think it's only the water in my control, so you have to be in the center of the ocean for me to have control over you? As if the land is not in my control. As if the land is not in my control. So if not in an earthquake zone, an earthquake cannot come. So the sky cannot shower floods upon you. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرَعُونَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. How Allah sees the nation of Fir'aun. First Allah sent drought upon them. And then lack of provisions. They came to Musa alayhi salam, they pledged loyalty. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ بِمَا عَهِدَ عِنْدَكَ لَئِنْ كَشَفْتَ عَنَّا الرِّجْزَ لَنُؤْمِنَنَّ لَكَ وَلَنُرْسِلَنَّ مَعَكَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Tell Allah to remove this difficulty from us. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the infidels of Makkah, then he also said, اللهم اجعلها عليهم سنين كسني يوسف. Allah inflict upon them a drought like the famine that gripped the people in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. That was the curse of Nabi alayhi salam. They became desperate to eat things that were not edible. And then they came back to Musa, they came back to Nabi alayhi salam and said, you promote kindness and mercy, and your curse has left your nation desperate. Ask Allah to lift this curse. So they came to Musa alayhi salam. Musa, tell Allah to remove it. Today we all are saying, tell Allah to remove this, and I will do that. Allah removed it, but then as is the nature of man, they reverted back to their vice and their arrogance. So Allah had sent rain upon them. When they reverted to their evil, Allah just increased the volume of that rain and Allah made it into floods. So while they were complaining of drought, now it became an issue of floods. Water. I went to Indonesia, we went to the oceans, we seen the extent of the devastation. Allahu Akbar. Aerial view was arranged for an hour, just under the prime devastation. The prime devastation of an aerial view, you are flying. 1 hour. That's just one section in Bandar Aceh. Absolute devastation. Around the waters, there are nothing. The dwellings have been demolished. And we went to those masjids. Perhaps you've seen footage, you've seen pictures of it. Subhanallah, close to the water in the masajid, stand there untouched, unharmed. And then one brother told us, he says, we looked at the waters after it had happened. He says, it was as if the water was saying, don't look at me, I'm innocent. So calm were the waters. So peaceful. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. Allah says, today it's water, one day I will cause a fire to emerge from that water. So it's water when Allah decides it water, it's destructive when Allah decides it to be destructive. The nation of Ad, what Allah did to this nation? Allah speaks about 8 winds in the Quran. Allah speaks about 8 different types of winds in the Quran. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu's riwayat in Ibn Kathir. Out of that, 4 winds are mercy and 4 are destructive. And then Allah takes an oath on every wind. Allah speaks about nashirat. وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرَى. By the oath of those winds that spread the clouds. Then Allah speaks of mubashirat. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن يُرْسِلَ الرِّيَاحَ مُبَشِّرَاتٍ وَلِيُذِيقَكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. And amongst the signs of Allah is that He sends these winds, this gentle breeze, that gives off the reflection that rain is forthcoming. And wherever Allah speaks of the rain of mercy in the Quran, Allah couples it with life after death. إِنَّ الَّذِي أَحْيَاهَا لَمُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. The Allah who revived the dead land will revive the dead man. Wherever Allah speaks of it. Subhanallah, you study the Quran and what Allah speaks about rain. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ لِيَذَّكَّرُوا فَأَبَىٰ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. Allah says, we spread the water out. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, under the commentary of this ayah, the perception that people have and the comment that people make, this year we had a lot of rain and last year there was less, they say it is wrong. Every year Allah sends down the equal measure of rain. However, Allah distributes it differently. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, every year Allah sends down an equal measure and proportion of rain. Everything. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ Allah says everything in proportion. So anyway, Allah speaks about مُبَشِّرَات. Amongst the signs of Allah is that He sends this gentle breeze. And then thereafter comes rain. وَلِتَجْرِيَ الْفُلْكُ بِأَمْرِهِ And through the command of Allah, the ship sails. وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ And because of the calm waters and the gentle breeze, your ship can sail and your export and import can carry on. As the Quran speaks about it, the biggest business and commerce and trade that is happening across the globe is through import and export. You go and see the ports, you go and see the harbors, you go and see the containers that is happening, and all this is through the water that Allah has given us. And if Allah has to send stormy winds, which Allah makes mention about in the next verse of the Quran, وَلَئِنْ أَرْسَلْنَا رِيحًا فَرَأَوْهُ مُصْفَرًّا لَظَلُّوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ يَكْفُرُونَ Allah says, if I have to just strengthen the speed of that wind. So I was reading now about this Katrina and Rita and Wilma while I was in America. Every day there was coverage. And then they measured the speed of the wind and the growth of the wind and the intensity of the wind. And it picks up speed from 80 miles to 100 miles and panic and evacuation. Allah says, if I have to intensify and make that beneficial rain into that beneficial wind into a destructive wind, and instead of it bringing, you know, benefit to your crops, it destroys your crops. وَلَئِنْ أَرْسَلْنَا رِيحًا فَرَأَوْهُ مُصْفَرًّا لَظَلُّوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ يَكْفُرُونَ Then Allah says, this very man will rebel against me. Allah explains the feebleness of man in this verse of the Quran, very unique. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ The similitude of this world, you plan, you develop, you explore, you build, you plant, you harvest, you plan in everything, in every aspect of life. Allah says, like water comes down. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ So the water comes, then there's the rays of the sun, the crops grow, it becomes green, it becomes lush, it becomes striking to the eye of the tiller, impressive. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا Subhanallah. And these natural disasters make it loud and clear. Allah says the earth then decorates itself and gives off its beauty. It looks beautiful, it's satisfying, it's impressive, you become obsessed. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا وَزَّيَّنَتْ وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا And the farmer says the time is ripe. And the businessman says this is the time to make money. And the president says this is the time for elections. Everything is laid out. The grounds are conducive. The atmosphere is conducive. And you feel you control. And you dominate. And you in charge. Ataha amruna laylan aw nahara. Ataha amruna laylan aw nahara. Allah says my hidden plan comes to fore. Either by night or by day. Never mind the plan, those very humans are then destroyed. And I destroy them how? كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ As if that nation never existed. Brothers, these disasters are being called the disasters of the century. But more sad and more tragic than these disasters is that you and I are not reflecting. That is more sad and more, you know, more painful than the disaster itself. So what happened to the nation of Aad? How Allah destroyed them? Coming back to the winds of Allah. Nashirat, Mubashirat. Then Allah speaks of Mursalat. Wal Mursalati Urfa. We had a heavy downpour now. Whenever there was a strong wind, the Prophet ﷺ used to hasten to the masjid. And he taught us a dua. Allahumma ja'alha rahmatan wa la taj'alha azaba. Allahumma ja'alha riyaha wa la taj'alha riha. Allah, let this wind be merciful, let it not be destructive. Allah, let it benefit us. Allah, let it not harm us. Allah, everything is in His control. Nabi alayhi salam sent one sahabi that go and call this person, tell him I'm calling him. So when the sahabi went, it comes in many tafsir, in tafsir Uthmani, I read it, but in other tafsir as well. He went to this leader and he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling you. So this man started mocking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, is he made of gold or silver? Is the Prophet of Allah of gold or silver? The Quran says, وَيُرْسِلُ الصَّوَاعِقَ فَيُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِ. Allah sent lightning and a thunderbolt which struck him on his head and severed his head from his body instantly. Allah sent a thunderbolt and struck him, and Allah speaks about it in this verse. وَيُرْسِلُ الصَّوَاعِقَ فَيُصِيبُ بِهَا. Allah sends thunder and Allah strikes it upon whomsoever He wishes. There were certain kuffar who were mocking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every time they had they made nasty remarks. So Allah revealed the verse, inna kafaynaka almustahzi'in, that O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will suffice. There were five that were influential. And in a very unique way, Allah claimed the life of everyone. In Madarik al-Tanzil, it is written in great detail. Jibreel alayhi salam pointed to one and he died. Another one, instantly a certain ulcer came out on his body and he died. So everything is in the control of Allah Ta'ala at any time, at any time. At any time. Allah Ta'ala can turn anything against man. So the nation of Aad, Allah speaks about the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, the people of Aika. They were guilty of disobeying Allah in business. It became extremely hot. These natural disasters are reminding us so often. Extremely hot. The heat became unbearable. In a nearby locality, there was a cloud and from which came a gentle breeze. So people said, come and stand under this cloud. It's very beautiful. Everybody gathered. When they gathered there after the gentle breeze, expecting rain, Allah Ta'ala sent fire from that cloud which burned them all. So they came to their point of destruction. فَأَخَذَهُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمِ الظُّلَّةِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. They were seized by the torment of a gloomy cloud. The nation of Aad, first there was drought. And they said, this is happenings, it happens sometimes, it's drought. They based this on the general happenings, you know. And that is, you will be astounded to know how many people have become atheists and agnostics in the world. There's no divine being. Everything happens. In hiya illa hayatuna dunya namutu wa nahya wa ma yuhlikuna illa ad-dahr. That we live, cause and effect. We die because of cause and effect. We benefit because of cause and effect. Because you did this, this has happened. But there's no ultimate being that controls our affairs. So anyway, there was severe drought. And then they wait expecting rain. So Allah sends a cloud. Allah sends a cloud also. To add to their anxiety. And they also latch onto this hope. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ. As they seen the cloud coming, they said, قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْتِرُنَا. Here comes the cloud and then comes the rain and there is gone our drought. Allah says, no, you don't know. رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. In this cloud there is a wind, and in that wind there is a severe torment. This wind has been instructed to دَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. To destroy everything. So Allah then unleashes His wind. Allah releases His wind. وَفِي عَادٍ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّيحَ الْعَقِيمِ. Speaking of that wind, and I speak about the wind of Aad. Allah speaks of Mursalat. Allah then speaks about Dariyat. These are the four winds of mercy. And Allah takes an oath of every wind. Allah takes an oath on every wind. Whenever there was thunder, the Prophet ﷺ made the dua, Allahumma la taqtulna bi ghadabik, wa la tuhlikna bi adhabik, wa afina qabla dhalik. Today there's thunder, it's overcast. Take out a nice movie, make some popcorn and spend your time there. So the namaz is also gone. Make more guna, involve yourself in sin. The wind had to just become a bit stronger and the Prophet ﷺ was in the house of Allah. Now they're calling it Katrina and Rita and Wilma and strength and destructive and tornadoes and cyclones and whatever else have you. Now they are coming. What was the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The wind blew slightly stronger and he hastened to the house of Allah. Allahumma la taqtulna bi ghadabik wa la tuhlikna bi adhabik وَعَافِنَا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. Allah, don't destroy me by your wrath, Allah. Allah, don't seize me by your punishment. Allah, give me safety before you desire anything unpleasant for people on earth. Allah, give me safety and security before you decide to destroy. So these disasters come and they take in, they sweep thousands. They take hundreds. They just swallow nations. The earth splits, closes, and that's it. فَخَصَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. The Quran says we ordered it to split and swallow. Allah ordered the angel to release. And what happened? Allah released that wind. To what extent? Subhanallah. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيًا سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ. Allah released it. ثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ, 7 nights and 8 days non-stop. What it did, it destroyed that nation totally. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. They look like hollow palms that collapse. تَنْزِعُ النَّاسِ. It uprooted people. After all this happens, and Allah destroys the nation that said we are the strongest, comes the nation of Thamud, and here again the mistake that mankind is making. So what did Thamud say? Thamud says the blunder Aad made was, they had not fortified their homes well. That was the blunder they made. So we will make more beautiful homes that the winds cannot destroy, as if Allah, only the winds are in Allah's control. So what they did, they carved beautiful homes. Scientific approach. Counted scientifically. So now you build, and I've seen, I mean, they have these springs in the ground to withstand a tremor. Man is trying to counter something which is divine with something which is physical. And he's still not learning, unfortunately. So the nation of Thamud, they started building beautiful homes. وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. They started carving homes hidden in their mountains. That this is what we will do. But when the time came, Allah decided to destroy. Allah gave them 3 days of grace. تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. The first day their faces turned pale, the second day it turned red, the third day it became dark. And the next day Allah destroyed. How Allah destroyed? Allah didn't send wind. They said that no, the wind cannot destroy, as if only the wind will come. So what does Allah do? فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ. There's a quake from the ground. And then, أَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِقِينَ. In the early part, as the sun is rising, Jibreel comes and there is a loud scream and there is an awful cry. And that's not all. There is thunder from the skies. All these three torments are combined at one time and they all are destroyed. So these are the nations that Allah destroyed. And Allah shows these things to make man understand. To make man understand. Brothers, the point that I want to discuss is, what is our lesson from all this here? Allah Ta'ala speaks in the Quran that if Allah wanted, إِنَّ شَأْنُ نَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَضَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. Allah says, I could send down a convincing miracle which would compel every human to obey Allah. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا. Allah says, if I wanted, every man without exception would have believed in me. But then under the commentary of the Sayyid Ibn Kathir, rahmatullahi, writes that Allah says, I did not opt for this because I don't want anybody to be forced in my obedience. I want you must willfully obey me, optionally obey me, by choice, by happiness, by passion, motivated by love and not reluctant. So Allah has given us the opportunity. One hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it sums up it very beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the riwayat is in Tirmidhi. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is sitting before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ya'khudhu anni ha'ula fa ya'malu bihinna aw yu'allimu man ya'malu bihin." Who will come and take 5 pertinent advices from me, practice on it, or at its least convey it to someone else who will practice upon it? So it does not mean if we cannot practice, we cannot convey. Obviously the ideal is that we practice ourselves. We practice. Allah, make us the correct role models for our children, because we must lead by example. Someone told his son, "My son, listen to what I say and don't do what I do. Do what I say and not what I do." It doesn't work that way. Our children pay more attention to what we do than say. They're looking at your actions. They're not looking at what you say. Their gaze is on what you're doing. I give you an innocent example of a child. The other day, one child was speaking in the madrasa. So I casually asked them, I said, "Okay, children, did any one of you use obscene language, vulgar language?" So there's a pin drop of silence. Then one girl says, "I'd rather be honest. Yes, Maulana, I have the problem, and unfortunately, I tend to swear." Her sister walks in. So I ask her sister, "Is it true?" She says, "Yes, she swears." I ask her, "What about you? You swear?" She says, "Sometimes I swear." "Where you learnt it from?" "My father." As innocent as that. What have I to hide? That's the vocabulary my father uses. That's the vocabulary we use. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Who will take from me and convey it?" And wallah, I have seen, now when I was in America, Allahu Akbar, this brother made me cry. Youngster, subhanallah, dressed in a very beautiful sunnah libas and very striking in his appearance, very beautifully looking. He came to me and said, "Sheikh, please, you have to come home. My parents want to meet with you." And then he starts tearing. And I said, "What's the brother? What's the matter, brother?" He says, "Sheikh, my parents haven't seen you, but I swear by Allah, since your last visit, at this time, on this particular night, you gave this hadith, and it turned my life. And since then, I have never reverted back to my evil. Since that day till today, my parents make dua for you daily. 3 years have lapsed, they haven't seen you, but they make dua for you. It brought such tears to my eyes." We don't know which person will be impressed and whose heart will turn at which moment. Another brother came running to me and said, "Sheikh, you know me?" I said, "No, my apologies." He said, "Sheikh, 3 years ago when you were here, I sat in your talk and you spoke about the beard. Since then, I've never touched my beard." One youngster came to me. He said, "Sheikh, on your first visit, you gave a talk at this masjid and you spoke about the knowledge of deen. And that motivated me. And alhamdulillah, I went to study. And with the grace of Allah, I have now graduated as a scholar." Wallah, there is such potential in the ummah. There is such potential in the ummah. So who will take it, practice upon it, or convey it to someone else? فَرُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said, there are many people to whom you will convey, they'll do a better job than those who convey. They will preserve it better. One sister one day phoned me. She said, "Sheikh, I've been listening to this particular hadith. You mentioned it in this lecture. And since that day, I have never missed my tahajjud salah." I actually started crying and I said, "Sister, make dua that Allah gives me that. I conveyed it, but I'm deprived of it. I'm devoid of it." And subhanallah, you heard it once and you've never missed it. You're a woman much better than myself. So who is there to take 5 words from me, practice upon it, or convey it to someone? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, "O Nabi of Allah, I will do it. Give me those 5 advices. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ." Abu Huraira, abstain from Allah's disobedience and you have feared him the most. Abu Huraira, abstain from Allah's disobedience and you have feared him the most. Someone came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and asked him, "What would you say? There is a man who commits sins also, performs good deeds also, optional. And there is another person who only performs the basic mandatory actions. Those things which Allah has made obligatory. So there's no optional fast. There's no optional charity. He just fasts in Ramadan, discharges zakat. But there's no sin in his life. Which one would you prefer, O Abdullah ibn Abbas, the father of tafsir?" He said, "Without doubt, the one that has no sin, there is none like him." Now, unfortunately, our piety today, this is the problem. So the optional charity is good. I'm not saying no. But unfortunately, there's so much sin with it. The hadith appears in Bukhari Sharif. The Sahaba are sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, "Dullani ala amalin idha amiltuhu dakhaltul jannah." O Nabi of Allah, tell me one action, if I do it, Allah will give me Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ta'budullaha la tushriku bihi shay'a." You promise me you believe in one Allah, no ascribing partners. He says, "Yes, O Nabi of Allah." تقيم الصلاة المكتوبة establish your salah. تؤدي الزكاة المفروضة discharge your zakat. تصوم الشهر رمضان and you observe the fast in the month of Ramadan. He said, O Nabi of Allah, I will do that. At that time, even Hajj was not yet compulsory. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't speak about anything else. Four things he tells him, according to what was compulsory at that time. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا وَلَا أَنْقُسْ. I swear by that Allah who is in control of my life, I won't do anything more to what you said, and I won't do anything less. He said this and he went away. Nabi alayhi salam said, أَفْلَحَ الرَّجُلُ إِن صَدَقَ. This man is a jannati if he honors his agreement. There was no optional charity. I'm not saying don't do this here. But there was a commitment of loyalty. There was a commitment of faithfulness. I will never disobey Allah. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Abstain from Allah's disobedience and you have feared Him the most. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا وَرَعَكَ الْكَفِّ وَلَا عَقْلَكَ التَّدْبِيرِ وَلَا حَسَبَكَ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. There is no act of piety better than abstinence from sin. There is no act of piety better than abstinence from sin. In a nutshell, a simplified synopsis and a simplified version of tasawwuf is to abstain from sin. That is the gist and the summary of tasawwuf. To abstain from the disobedience of Allah. And to consider it as poison. That I cannot go back to the disobedience of Allah. I cannot revert to that. One is istighfar, one is tawbah. Istighfar is Allah forgive my past. Tawbah is Allah I pledge never to do it again. Today we make an istighfar, we're not making tawbah. Allah forgive me for my past, we're not pledging that we will never revert back to it. The Ummah has not made tawbah. Tawbah is Allah I will never do it again.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.